This is a rough week to be a Knicks boy. Zachary's going back in for a procedure tomorrow in the morning. My dad goes for his pre-op visit on Wednesday, and I'm still waiting to hear on my surgery date. We've been talking on Sunday nights about testimony, about sharing your story and what that means. And last week, Karen Pierce, she kind of told her story, which was her side of Alex's story, but nonetheless, it was her story, right? And is it important that we tell our story? You see, the Bible is full of stories. The Bible's full of stories. I mean, Mark told his story, his version of the story of Jesus Christ. Matthew told his eyewitness account of the story of Jesus Christ, his story of Jesus. Paul, of course, most of his were letters, but in there is very personal stuff about Paul and from Paul. So anyway, the Bible's full of those stories. Is it important that we tell our story? And if so, why? And why should we tell our story? And before Jesus, you know, he ascended after the resurrection and all that, he was on the earth for some time, and then he ascended to heaven. Before he did that, he spent a final time with his 11 disciples, and he told them one of the very last things that he told them was a commandment to them. And he said in Matthew 28:19-20, it's a very familiar passage, he says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Surely, I am with you to the very end of the age." And if these were some of the last words that Jesus gave his disciples here on this earth, we must take it that they were of extreme importance to the disciples and to Jesus because he felt the need to say them. And Jesus commands us to tell others about him. Now you may ask, why me? Isn't that the preacher's job? Aren't there others more equipped to do that? I mean, I'm not a preacher. I don't even know what to say. Well, the first reason that we should be telling others, and I say we, every one of us, should be telling others about him is that he commands us to. Luke recorded in Acts 1 verse 8, he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." See, Christ commands us to tell others about him, and he promised to give us the power to do it. It's kind of similar to the way when a person's called to give a testimony or testify in court as a witness. In the same way, we are asked to be Christ's witnesses. Now, in a court, the witness will testify to the things that they have personally seen and heard. They will give an account based upon what they have observed and experienced as it relates to the current events or situation or circumstances. But as Christians, we have the opportunity and the responsibility to tell others what we have seen and what we have heard and what we have experienced in our walk with the Lord. There's a difference in telling your story than telling somebody else's story. I can tell you somebody else's story, and then that person could come up here and tell you their story and their version, their perspective, their view, there's just more power in their own story because they were there. It happened to them. It was their story. They were the witnesses. They're the recipients, whatever. There's power in that. So the first thing is we're to tell the story, our story, what Jesus did for us because Christ commanded us to. The second reason is that you are really the only one who can tell your story. Like I said, I can tell it, but it's not as impactful, not as effective as if you told your story. You're the only one that can tell it. No one can adequately describe the things that have changed your life since you surrendered yourself to Christ. It's your story. No one else can tell it. If Christ has done great things for you, you have the privilege and the responsibility of sharing that with others. In Luke chapter 8, this little verse says, Jesus was had worked a miracle, and he said, "Now, return home and tell how much God has done for you." So they went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. You remember the woman at the well? When she left, she went to the town, and what did she say? "You've got to come. There's a man who told me things about myself. Come and see if he might be the Christ." The greatest part of telling others about the Lord is that you now have the opportunity to affect the lives of others for good. Now they will have a chance to come to know Christ and encourage those who are struggling in their own. You know, it's not always the story. Your story is not always to bring people to salvation, although we certainly have those opportunities. Sometimes it's a word of encouragement to somebody who's struggling right now, who's going through a rough time, who's down, who's discouraged. And so your story, while it not may not be their exact circumstances, they may be able to identify with your circumstances and say, "Man, if God did that for them," and I'm not talking about 2,000 years ago, if God did this 4 days ago for this person, maybe He'll do something for me. And there's encouragement, there's hope in that. Jesus commands us to tell others of His salvation, and He wants everyone to know about Him. You know, the Bible says that He wants everyone to know about Him. He died. He suffered a horrible, excruciating, humiliating, painful, horrible death so that we could be reunited with God the Father. And the only way for that truth to be known is for someone to tell it. And you and I are that someone. Why should we tell others? We should tell others because they need to know that Jesus loves them and that He wants to give them life. Good life. Abundant life. Eternal life. His desire is to rescue each one from the pit and the consequences of sin. Everybody. That's His desire. In 2 Peter 3:9, Peter writes, "The Lord is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." You see, one thing we don't have to be afraid of is we never have to fear that we'll be left alone to speak for God. He will always give us what to say and the power to be effective. Remember that first verse set I read, Matthew 28:19-20? And it ended with this, "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age." Now, telling your story is just like any other thing. The more you practice it, the better you get. Now, I think I've made a reference to what my old high school basketball coach used to say. They tell you that practice makes perfect. That's not true. Only perfect practice makes perfect, right? So you got to practice telling your story well. And it's the cool thing about your story is that you're still in the middle of it, and so the story changes. The story takes on different nuances. Now, the principles of the story, the salvation of that Jesus Christ offers, that will never change. The certain things are standard, they won't change. But your view, your take on how God is moving and working in your life is always in flux. And your testimony ought to be fresh. If somebody comes up and tells you their testimony, and it's from 49 years ago, over a three-month period, that's not a real fresh testimony. It ought to be as fresh as yesterday or last week. How God is, I mean, is God still moving and working? Who in this room, just by show of hands, who in this room has seen or felt the presence and the movement of God in the last 10 days? That's a story that needs to be told. That's a story that needs to be told. Did it matter to you? Yeah, it should have. Well, guess what? Somebody needs to hear that because it might matter to them. It might be an encouragement to them that God is moving today. I mean, how many people just raised their hand? There's probably several, more than 10 probably. That's 10 different stories of how God is moving right here and right now. And it matters. I told you that I challenged us to be prepared to begin to tell your story. And there's a part of some of the evangelism training things that we used to do. Used to be able to say, okay, you need to be able to tell your testimony in like 3 minutes. Is that right? 3 minutes? Tell it. You'll get it. You practice it. You get it down and tell it in 3 minutes. And that that's not a bad thing, okay? But you ought to be constantly updating it. You ought to be constantly updating it. Testimony ought to, like I said, ought to be very recent, very fresh. Testimony, you've heard me say too, it ought to say more about you after your conversion experience than before. I mean, if you're speaking to somebody that's lost, it's important to say, you know, what life was like before Christ and then what Christ did and how life is different now. Okay, that's important. If you're giving some encouragement to somebody that's already knows Christ, you know, you don't have to go back and memorize and recite that first part. You go back and say, man, I tell you what, just last week in Walmart of all things, yesterday, we got new TV service at the house. I'm still not convinced that I'm liking the new service, but nonetheless, I was there, out there in the backyard with a guy who was setting the pole and getting the dish ready and all that. And I just asked him, I said, hey, what do you do in a situation where you have like an RV and you want to be able to take your dish net TV satellite system service with you on the road somewhere? How do you make that portable? He says, well, you got to have most people do is they have a separate dish and then they just take the receiver out of their house. I said, but is that kosher? Is that okay? He said, well, you know, people do it. That's just what it is. It's your receiver. You do it. And I said, well, here's why I ask, because I want to make sure that I do it right, because I pastor this little church at the end of the road down here. And we'd like to be able to show the Super Bowl. So I can take my deal down there, but I need to find another dish that I can use, you know, portable little dish down there. He said, dude, I got one at my house. I will set you up. What church is it? I said, it's Dolan Baptist Church. He said, where is it? I said, right down here at the end of the road. He said, man, you're not going to believe this. We just moved out of Houston, and we're staying up in Cleveland right now at my mother-in-law's house because they had mold in their house down in Houston. Had to get the kids out. He said, and we moved out here and been telling what we've been driving all the way back down to Channel View or somewhere down there to go to church. He said, in the last couple of weeks, we haven't been because it's just so far. He said, we've just been really, you know, saying we need to find a place here. We need to find a church here. And then all of a sudden, I show up and I'm at the pastor's house. And we had a long conversation. We talked. He was there for 4.5 hours, and we talked about the Lord the whole time. And he said, man, they tell me I need to move out of Cleveland and get to Shepherd. And I said, really? He said, yeah, but I don't know anything about the school. I said, my wife's a teacher at the school. He said, are you serious? And it was just one thing after another about how just because I started talking and mentioned church and how what God was doing in his life was confirmed by some of the things that I was talking about just because I was just involved in conversation. Now, that's not necessarily testimony, except that he did ask me, how do you know when the Lord calls you to ministry? And I went back and told him my story. The thing is, nobody can discount your story. Nobody can discount your experience and what you know to be true in your life. Those things, like I said this morning, you know, there's the biblical truths, and then there's the personal things that are not necessarily true for everybody. What may be true as far as my experience may be a different type of experience for you. Okay? See things a little bit differently. So when I told him, here's how I knew the Lord called me. The Lord may call him in a different way. The Lord has been calling him and speaking to him in different ways, but yet to hear my version gives confirmation to him. So they're looking for a church. I really kind of half expected to see him here this morning. And it may still come. But we're going to get a satellite dish for the Super Bowl party, I know that. But it's just as simple as that. I didn't have to go knocking on his door with my tie and my pamphlets and all that. I didn't have to do all that and set up an appointment. I just engaged in conversation and allowed the Lord to lead that conversation. It's as simple as that. Now, I challenged you to be prepared to tell your story. And last week, it's so cool how God did that because she wasn't here. She's not normally here on Sunday nights when I made that challenge, but it was the next week when she mentioned to me, I need to tell my story, which was very cool. But the challenge is still out there. I've already spoken with a couple people to get lined up to tell your story. And folks, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to sing a song and you don't have to have the videos and all that to go with it. It's just telling your story. And it doesn't have to take an hour. It can take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever it takes to tell your story. So my challenge is still out there. If you would like to be obedient, because remember, we're commanded. Okay? We're commanded to tell what Jesus has done in our lives. If you'd like to be obedient to that, I would certainly like to get you set up with a time in our Sunday nights to tell your story. It's important that we do that. It's important we do that. One, to be obedient. And number two, nobody else can tell your version. Nobody else can write Matthew but Matthew. Nobody else can write Luke, but Luke. Nobody else can tell your story but you. And by the show of hands, God's been doing something in most of your lives that needs to be told. It needs to be told. It gives encouragement, or like in my case yesterday, it may just give confirmation to what God is already moving in somebody else's life. And here's the cool thing about God. He's never one place in one place only at one time. You see, when he was preparing me and to be at the house to receive the satellite guy, he had already been working in the satellite guy's life to bring him to my house, and that was what I call a divine appointment. That's set up by God. And all you have to do is be faithful and obedient. It doesn't have to be some grandiose thing. It's just a simple, man, here's what God has been doing in my life. And it's recent. Isn't it amazing? And that person goes, pretty amazing. And here's why it's amazing. Because what you said rang true with me. It's just so good how God is. So, the challenge is still out there. Please speak with me and let me know if I can put you on the schedule. And we're going to do this over a period of time, okay? Not just solid, but we'll kind of sprinkle it in there a little bit. But I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to hearing your story. When I was at, when we were members at Tomball, First Baptist Church of Tomball, the new pastor that was there for about a year before we left, he challenged the people to write down their testimony and get it to the office, and he made these binders, and everybody, he had as many testimonies as he could in all these binders to be able to have and to share. And one of the reasons that he said, his name is James, Pastor James, he said one of the reasons is it automatically gives me material to read at your funeral. Now, I'm not wishing that to be able to use that at any of y'all's funeral. But it was a good thing to have those things, those testimonies. But the more I think about it, that's just a one snapshot thing. And like I said, our testimony is always changing. I was gonna use evolving, but I don't like the word evolving for many different reasons. But it's always changing. It's always growing. It's growing in depth, growing in breadth, growing in experience. And so you ought to be updating that in your mind all the time. So anyway, we're told to tell. Does everybody agree that the Bible tells us that we're to tell? We are to tell. And so let's just be faithful and obedient. Yes, ma'am. Is there anyone tonight that would like to... Is there anybody? Yeah, no pressure. Well, it's only Sunday. Of course, it's a good day to have an encounter with the Lord on Sundays. I'm just saying. Just saying. Okay. That's awesome. That is awesome. Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you. I love hearing stories about adoption. You talk with David King, and he reminds you, as far as adoption goes, he said, you know, you can really kind of disown your own kids. But if you adopt a kid, you cannot. You cannot. Which gives us confidence because we've been adopted into God's family. He cannot, will not abandon us. He says, lo, I am with you, even to the very end of the age. And I promise you, folks, if you'll be faithful to have the boldness to start speaking, God will fill you with the power, give you the words, translate, change your words, whatever, to make it fit and to make it right. Really, all you do is just have the boldness to start. It's amazing how God will take over in that situation. Yesterday, I didn't intend to really go down that road. I just wanted to say, I don't want to do anything illegal because I represent a church and I want to do it right. And God just took over. Are you serious? A church? What church? Where church? How do you know? You're the pastor? How do you know when God comes? It was just amazing. It's amazing. And so all you got to do is be faithful. Be faithful. I encourage you. Be thinking about that a little bit. Okay? There may be some things in your testimony that are the highlights that don't change every time you tell it. And that's okay. But there ought to be some recent stuff in there that just gives evidence to God's moving and God's working in your life and the life of those whom you love. So just be thinking about that and be ready. And you're going to have opportunities. You're going to have opportunities to tell it. It doesn't have to be long. It can just be a quick little snapshot. Got to tell you about what happened last week. Last Monday at the courthouse. It can be something simple as that. So, thank you all for being back here tonight. Thank you for praying for me and for Zachary. We covet your prayers. Zachary has had these kidney stones. He's been fighting them for too long, 5 or 6 weeks now. He has a stent in there now. Tomorrow I'm taking him up to the hospital. They're supposed to remove the stent, see if they can get to the stones this time. They could not get to them last time. See if they can get there this time. And then I think they intend to put another stent, a little bigger one in. I don't know, but that stent is one of the things that causes the great discomfort in him. And so I know that he's ready to be through with this. And so thank you and continue to pray for him. Again, this Wednesday I take Dad to the hospital to get him pre-registered. His surgery is set for December 7th, which is the same date that Liz Henley is having her hip replaced also. Different hospitals, different doctors. Different times, I hope. But and then again, I'm just kind of waiting to hear. I will tell you that I had to get Dad. You know, they say, okay, well, we see he's had some cardiac issues. We need to get him cleared by his cardiologist and his primary care physician. And so they gave me the forms and all that. Went to the primary care and started with him. And he wrote on there and filled it out and signed it and faxed it in. And then she gave me the paperback. And it said, do not give clearance for the surgery. He needs to see his cardiologist, which we already knew that. Or I had a form for them. Called the guy up in Lufkin that we'd been taking Dad to. Couldn't get any answer for a while from them. Finally, she called me, or I called back, and she said, okay, here's the deal. This doctor says that he's not the primary cardiologist. We've just done all the testing. You need to go back and see the other cardiologist, Dr. Manny, up in Livingston. I said, all right. So I called Dr. Manny and told them what was going on. I said, time is of the essence. We've got to get this done. Called back later that afternoon. She said, oh, yeah, he faxed that in. It's all good to go. I said, well, would you fax a copy of that to our primary care so he can know that you cleared him for that? And so finally, you know, God just kind of worked through that and getting all that stuff done. And so we're excited. We're excited to be on the other side of all these things. So I also know that I need you to pray for William O'Neill. I will not go into details. He's having some health things, and he needs our prayers, okay? Pray for Leanne. I'm not sure of the full story. Her stepdad was hit by a car. Was it last night? Saturday morning? I don't know the details, how bad he is. I know there's some broken bones and whatnot. I'm not sure what his prognosis is or anything like that. She's pretty, obviously, she's tore up, and she needs our prayers, so pray for her. Is Yo up in Dallas? And did she go to Dallas? Okay. So she's in Virginia. Pray for Yo. Pray for Mark. What else? Agnes, bless her heart. She had fallen. Did not break anything, but she got pretty banged up and bruised up. She showed me her arm, and it was about the same color as my shirt with purple highlights. And she was doing pretty good yesterday. They went out and did some things and then got back to the house, and she was not doing so good. She's hurting pretty good, so she did not make it to church today. So pray for her. Who else? Let's just close out our time with a word of prayer, praying for these things. Father in heaven, Lord, we know that just because we're Christians, we're not exempt from life. And we're not exempt from illnesses and ailments. But Lord, we ought to have a whole different perspective on those things because of the hope in Jesus Christ. So Father, help us to not forget that. Help us to focus on that hope that we have in Christ. Help us to focus on the like I said, I'm ready to be on the other side of this, because when I get on the other side, I'm going to have a story to tell about your goodness, about your grace and your mercy and your power. Father, may we see everything that comes into our life in that light, that it serves a purpose somewhere, somehow, but it's our job to tell it so that it's not just a private moment, but it can be used to glorify God the Father. May that be our prayer, and may we be obedient to do it in Jesus' name.